Sassy Six. I am Carell. So very glad you are joining me, although I don't know how long today is going to be. It's Friday. It's a special edition. There's so many things that come out in the news, and I really love what I'm doing now in the kitchen and introducing you to healthier recipes and just sort of being campy and inspiring, you know, topics of the day with recipes of the day. I'm enjoying that. I hope you are too. I'd love your feedback at reallycarell.com, feedback@reallycarell.com. However, America's kids are killing themselves in record numbers, and I don't have kids, okay? And my niece and nephew are out of that age range. My grandkids, Hannah and Will, are in that age range, 15 and 17. And the age range, remarkably, is 10 to 25-year-olds. 10 to 25-year-olds. There's a record number of children killing themselves in America today. Now, that is a complete and total failure of everybody. You, me, parents, society, schools, culture, television, social media, that it's a complete breakdown. And it's unacceptable because we're not reproducing and the kids that we have are killing themselves in record numbers. That's a species die out. Certainly a culture die out. But more importantly, when you looked at the reasons, just like this week when we talked about STDs and jest and the probiotics that you could get from my yogurt, which was delicious. You know, because when you take antibiotics, you need to take probiotics as well. When we looked at that and we saw that PrEP was a contributing factor to the rise of STDs, as I knew it would be. When we look at the children's suicides, kids, teenagers, young adults, and by the way, every young kid, you know, we all thought of it, but now they're doing it. And we look at one of the reasons, and it is clearly every psychiatrist in the study said it is clearly contributing, the anger of America is contributing to our teens and our kids killing themselves. The fact that everybody is mad at each other. Do I have something on my lip? Would you all tell me if I did? Do I have something on my lip? Do I have anything to wipe it with? Would you all tell me? Are we that good of friends? I felt like I had something on my lip. I hope you would have told me. So, in fact, my lips are a little... It's windy out, okay? Right? It's windy out. And my lips and I went to an ophthalmologist yesterday. Oh, my God, the experience there yesterday. Oh, my God. Let's stay on topic. Because it was quite an experience. And see, that was yesterday, the anger that I felt at the ophthalmology office that wasn't necessary because their behavior was so inappropriate, you know, and it's like, why is everything this way these days? That is killing our kids. And, you know, when Elijah Cummings died, I felt guilty. Because every day I wake up hoping that Trump and Pence will stroke out or have a heart attack or something. And, you know, maybe not die, but be just incapacitated, not able to have office. Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, you know, please let them all get a flu or a bug that just takes them out. Just they can't work anymore. They're done. You know, or die. You know, I've envisioned Donald Trump swinging a golf club and then just dropping countless times. And I realized when Elijah Cummings died, a good man, that it was wrong to put that kind of energy into the world. And I have been for several years. And it's wrong. And it's wrong because that's not justice. That's just vengeance, which is thine, saith the Lord. And that's wrong. That's a wrong sentiment. And good people... like you and I, have allowed ourselves to feel wrong sentiments under this madness that is America now, because we too are so damn mad about it all, okay? And we too feel so powerless, just like the people on the other side. We have the exact same feeling they do, and many of us, when we have that feeling, feel the same feelings they do just about other people. And that doesn't make either of them right, like my mama would say, honey. Which means it doesn't make me right. I know that it's easier to say, would you not have wished ill on Hitler? Of course, who wouldn't have? Who wouldn't have wanted him dead? You know, really. I mean, if he was killing Jews, and if you see what's happening at the border, and if you see, I mean, if you really see it, if you see the horror that Trump and his administration is causing, the real emotional human cost, the dead Kurds, and there are now families torn apart because he sent a memo. People dying because he tweets, literally dying. Okay, when you look at the human cost, you think, well, how could you not want him dead? And I think to myself, because that's not productive. Because I now realize that that kind of sentiment festers and kills our children. And liberals and all of us are responsible for the death of our children. We have all, every adult has created the environment that they are, it's not just Republican children killing themselves. Okay? Liberal families, good families, poor families, poverty being a major contributor, all kinds of contributors. But certainly cited in the study was the anger of the country, the discourse, the bullying on social media, the fact that it's okay now for anybody to say anything they want to anybody with no repercussions. You can flip off Congress when it comes to a subpoena and not be dragged down in chains. We are living in unprincipled, undisciplined, unethical times, and it is killing our children. And the numbers say it's also killing us. And I care about that. I do. Would I like to see a die-off of every idiot in the country? I would flippantly say yes. But actually, no. To want to see that means I'm the type of person that would condone death of my enemies or of those I deem stupid. I'm not. I'm not. I would rather leave than to feel that way about my fellow countrymen. And if there is a re-election in 2020 of Donald Trump, I don't know if I will have the resources to leave. And if I do, then I will. And I mean that. If he's elected next year, re-elected, and I have the resources to go, I will, because I can't stay silent about injustice. But in this country, now, if you speak up about injustice, all you're greeted with is anger, even from those you're trying to defend, or often. So this discourse is killing our children, it's killing us, it's making us depressed and opiate addicted and fat and all of these other things. And I think, well, what is my part in that? Both on a show, and as a person, you know, in the world, what is my part in that? And it becomes my part to not be one of them. Okay? And that means even one of them for good. Meaning, shouting, I rant and rant and rant. There's so many hours of me ranting, so many video and audio hours of me literally ranting. And being your anger. And what good did it do? Made you feel good, made me feel good, but then what? Did it add to the anger that is killing our children? Maybe it did. Maybe it's time to start ranting and being angry and start making those hard decisions and doing something which always makes you feel better. Now, if you're trapped in America, and I might be, then we're still going to have to find a place to live where there's like-minded individuals, blue areas. It will come down to that. You know, I might have to go back to Cali. Well, Nevada's blue. Who knows? But what I'm saying is that instead of yelling and screaming and hating, we are going to have to stop if we want our children to live, if we want ourselves to live. And if we don't stop, if the United States continues down that path, then you have to decide, do I want my kids to grow up here? I know people that have taken their kids. I know personally, Jake's first girlfriend, really, well, first adult girlfriend, who he's not with now, but her parents took her to, when she was like 13, took her to Amsterdam because George W. Bush was president. They didn't want her growing up in that. So they took her to Amsterdam, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. She came back when she was 18 because she was dating. But they took their child away. They said, I can't have her growing up under George W. Bush. Now, we have to stop acting like we don't have that choice to leave. He's right. If we don't like it here, we can leave it. We want our cake and we want to eat it. We want the lifestyle of America, but we want it someplace else without the hatred. Well, then we have to make it that place. See, that's what my point is today. That means I have to make it that place. When I see something that's angering me, I can't walk up to it with hostility. I have got to walk up to it with understanding, including the homeless, all of it. I have to, even if I'm trying to clear them out and say, look, you're going to have to leave. You know, you can't be here, you know, pooping and peeing. But, you know, let's find someplace for you to be. And if you don't want to be someplace, if you just want to be homeless and mad, then you do have to go away. But I have to do that in a more caring fashion, not in a, these are vermin, just shoot them like rats sort of version. Because that's how people are starting to view the homeless, like an infestation. And they are an infestation, but they're an infestation of humans, of people. And we're forgetting. We're forgetting that Republicans are people. People who are ignorant and misguided and angry and fed up. But just because you're all of those things and educated doesn't mean you're better than the ignorant one. Everything that I just said about a Trump supporter is true about liberals as well. They just have different enemies, different causes, and a more educated opinion, but it's still a fed up opinion. Whether you're stupid and fed up or educated and fed up, you're still fed up. And both sides being so fed up that all they do is scream at each other is killing us. And the rich don't care. It's not killing them. You know, Tim Cook is a liberal, but he meets with Trump. He, you know, they do business with communist governments. They, you know what I'm saying? He ain't that much of a liberal. Well, he's a pragmatist. He lives in the... No. No, you don't do business with communists if you don't support communism. If you accept communism and say, okay, they're communist, and if that's what their people want, then that's that. Okay. But if you made communism the enemy forever, and then suddenly you do business with it, and that's who we've become. We've become people who have great disdain for many things, but not enough to make all the changes that we would need to fix the problems or to leave the situation. And I'm a fighter. I'm not a leave the situation, but as I age now, I think I'm going to start becoming a leave the situation. If I see an injustice happening, if I think I can fix it, meaning not at that moment, but, well, unless it's someone being attacked or something, then I'm not going to leave the situation. But if I see something that's wrong and it angers me, but jumping in at that moment won't change anything, but I think I can change it another way, great, then I'll try. But if I see something that's wrong and jumping in there or further up the chain ain't going to change a damn thing, then I'm thinking I might just let it be wrong. For now. Because it's too polarized. No one wants to work with anybody on solving a problem. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to try to solve problems. I'm just going to try to solve different ones in a different way. You know, there's plenty of problems to solve. We are unhappy and we are sick. And it's time that you realize that. Look, the planted host isn't just a whim for me. Yesterday, I had to yell at an Uber driver. I actually had to raise my voice to her. And she was fine. We were having a fine conversation. But she just kept saying, you know, she goes, oh, how did you lose the weight? Because, you know, she asked me where I was going. And I said, well, I'm actually going to a doctor, which is an ophthalmologist, because something is wrong in my eye. And I feel it, and no doctor's been able to see anything. So they're going to put some dye in there and see what's up. And she said, oh, I try to avoid doctors. And I said, well, I don't try to avoid them. I just don't see them very much anymore because I lost weight and my blood pressure is normal, cholesterol, all that. How'd you do it? So we had this conversation. And of course, she said, I could never be a vegan. And I'm like, really? So you've never eaten an apple? You've never had a pear or a banana? Yes, well, those are vegan. But I said, don't be a vegan. Be a plant-based eater. But more importantly, she said, oh, I could never give up steak. I could never. And this is what happened at the Hertz. You know, she's sitting there listening. I could never give up steak. I could never give up this. With this, I could never do this. And I just said, well, then die. And live on a planet that's dying. And die from the weather. And die. Because that's what a diet like yours is leading to. Death. Your own. From cholesterol, heart attack, all this other stuff. And the planet's. So if you are content to die, then go ahead. Friggin' eat steak every night of the week. Have lobster for lunch. Have shellfish for dinner. Who cares about the mercury, the fact that BP killed the Gulf and there's mutant crabs and don't think they're not making their way into the food supply. You know, there's radiation in the Pacific because of I'm forgetting the name of the nuclear plant. I'm sorry, Fukushima, I'm sorry, but whatever, you get the point. Then die. But go ahead and do it. And do it quickly. So those of us that are left can pick up the pieces. Because I'm going to live. Or I'm going to die trying to live. And it was in that Uber saying that I realized, yeah, I'm going to stop being mad at all the idiots. Be an idiot. Die if you need to. Be sick if you want to. If you don't want to, I am going to do everything in my power to help you be better. Whether it's just thinking about a topic in a different way, or entertaining you for the evening, or singing you a song that you like, or giving you a meal plan, or all of those things. I'm going to be there to in some way make you be better because I'm a communicator, I'm an entertainer, and it's what I do, and I like people. And I was reminded yesterday that I like people. I like people that are likable. And I think it's wrong to say that we like all people. We don't like all people. We like people that are likable. And I usually become best friends with people that we start with a fight. And we usually become best friends. That just because you fight with someone doesn't mean they're not likable. They can be totally likable and you start with a fight and then become best friends. How many of you have a best friend you started the relationship as adversaries? And it's because you're both passionate. You both feel good. This person, I wasn't fighting. I sort of just threw up my hands and said, then die. It's like politics. I am very well informed. And when called upon, I will do everything. I will vote for every primary and every election, for city council person, for dog catcher, for whatever. I will participate and I will be informed. I will have conversations with people that want to have them about candidates and policies. I'm that guy, okay? I'm going to be informed. But that being said, I'm not going above and beyond that for politics. I'm not doing it. You know, I'll do my part, but they need to start doing theirs. And they're not. So even Congress, he should already be impeached. His guy said on TV yesterday that they did it. Yeah, of course we did it. Get over it, I believe is what he said about the United States president asking the Ukrainian government to look into Hunter Biden, and if they didn't, withholding money from them. He said, of course we did it. Get over it. And he has a job today that we pay for. We pay Mulvaney. Okay, we, not Donald Trump. We pay him. So we're still paying him today. We're still paying Donald Trump today. We're still paying for Melania's $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 trips to New York to get beauty treatments. We're still paying for all of that today. So until we all just snap out of that and say, no, we're not. Like, we're not. We're actually not. Like, we're not. We're going to not pay taxes. You know, whatever. Until there's a revolt. Until we actually say we're not going to do it. Then it's just going to keep getting done. So rallying against it, what's it matter? It's killing our kids. It's creating an atmosphere that's killing our kids. Because we keep screaming, they keep doing, and no one's stopping. And so, you know what to do now? Create a better environment. That means leave that alone. Do your duty, vote, be informed. But this whole going on Twitter all day long, and you know what? None of you should be doing that. None of you are political commentators. None of you. You know what? We're nowhere near an election. Most of you should not be tweeting about anything right now, about politics, about anything. What's Congress do? They should be doing what they're doing. You know, but we should be involved with kids that are committing suicide. We should be involved with the fact that these opiate companies are now going to have to give billions and billions to states, and you and I or anyone that ever took an opiate is never going to see a dollar of it. And that it's not going to stop the next addiction from happening, no matter the substance, because of the unhappiness problem. We should be talking about all of these things, but we're so busy screaming about stuff that ain't changing that we're missing the point. And the point is, all of this discourse and screaming on social media and on television and Fox being against CNN and reporters and the president at odds and the rally people screaming, lock her up, jail her, kill her, do this, do that. And then people on the left, you know, it's killing everybody. And maybe that's the plan, but it's not going to kill me. It's not. And I don't want it to kill you. And I certainly don't want it to kill kids. So today is about as much of a rant on the show as you're going to get. When I get excited or passionate, it's going to be about facts. It's going to be about, you know, maybe things we could change. Or it's going to be about an absurdity that needs to be brought to light. But it's not going to be just an angry, I'm just mad at this. I'm tired of being mad at everything. There's too much to be mad at. Aren't you just tired of being mad at everything? I am. That doesn't mean we're not going to be angry, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to be angry. I'm angry at the ophthalmologist that the office manager had to come out and ask me about my service animal and broke many ADA rules about it. Many. As I told her, I said, you know, you're not supposed to single people with service animals out. Oh, so we're not. So everyone else here is going to be interviewed by the office manager before they're taken into the back? I found out later it's because someone brought in a service animal that wasn't and bit somebody. But you know what? I didn't want to be hassled about Ember being with me yesterday. I really didn't. And I could have, you know, I got angry at first. And then I thought, why? What is this going to do? Either leave, just leave and report them to the ADA. Or just deal, you know, and just let the anger go. If you're going to choose to stay and deal, don't be angry about it. I guess that's what I have to say about every day in America. Even if you're trapped here, because you're not ultimately. Many Jews left with just the clothes on their backs, and there's many refugees to this day that just hop in a boat with nothing. Right down today. Today, there are people that are showing up at our border that have nothing except what they carried. No money, no assets. They might have had something where they were, but where they are now, nothing. So if you really want to get out, you can, ultimately. Unless you're infirm and can't walk or, you know, and even them, they have relatives who take them. They have people, you know, so really, I'm not being facetious here. Ultimately, sick people escape regimes or whatever the case might be, or they die trying. So if we wake up every day and America, as it is, makes us so mad that we're just disgusted with it all day long, then we either have to change our attitude or change where you're at. Because that's going to kill us. And it is killing us. And they sell us stuff and drugs and everything to make us happy. But it doesn't. Because the underlying, we're just mad every day. You know, in the kid suicide study, they said their parents having to work and then their parents fighting at home often leads to, you know, that. And then the country's angry. And then there's online bullying. And they just, it's too much. Hello? Their parents are fighting at home because they're living in an economy that's unsustainable. They're paying way too much money for rent, for food, for childcare, for schooling, for all of it. They're stressed to the max because they are not making ends meet. Yeah. Now, either we stay in lives that make us terribly unhappy or we leave them. But if we stay in them, then we can't be unhappy in them. And that's what I'm saying. If I'm staying in America one more day, and I am, then I have to stop being unhappy about this country every single day. There's tons to be unhappy about. But if I can't fix it, then put a period in it. Yes, that upsets me. Period. Move on. Put a period in it. Yes, Trump being the president unimpeached upsets me. Period. Next. I can't let that be a drag-on sentence in my day because it will just infest everything. You know, no, I shouldn't have been treated the way I was yesterday. Period. You know, next. See what I'm saying? We have to start putting periods on our anger and not letting it just flow into everything. You know, okay, that upset me. Period. I have to move on. Because if you just live in the constant state of upset, that's not living. And it's causing kids to kill themselves. This anger that America has for each other, for the country, for politics, for policies, for this, for that, for China, for mad. It's killing our kids. It's killing us. I'm not going to say, well, everyone, come on, get happy. But you need to figure out where you are in that. Each of you. Because I am. I'm part of the problem right now. Obviously. I'm mad. I'm angry at what happens. I rant about it all the time. That's not, it's not helping. It's not helping me be angry and all the time. It's not helping. That's why I'm doing the Planted Host more tongue-in-cheek and recipes and things. Because you know what? What we're doing, it isn't working. And it's becoming painfully clear that if he's reelected, I'll have to leave or stay in a very liberal area where I don't have to worry about, you know, fighting for my life every day. My rights, you know, the whole thing. So that's what I wanted to say this Friday. That our anger is killing our children and we need to stop. You know, both sides, everybody, and not sides, every American needs to just stop being so mad at each other. If you're that mad at each other, then we should leave. We should break up. And there should be, you know, not a civil war, but just a very civil reapportionment. Really. If we're all that mad at each other all the time, then like-minded people should move to where they're a lot more, and then that they should break up. No one should be forced to live where they're angry at their neighbors all the time. I mean, that's just a dumb idea for a country. So you should either go to another country where they're not mad at their neighbors all the time, or if you're in the country where they're mad at their neighbors all the time, maybe suggest that maybe we split up. You know, I mean, really. If our differences with other Americans are irreconcilable, then maybe it's time we reconcile that. Otherwise, let's stop being mad at the South. Let's stop being mad at people like Lindsey Graham. Let's either not let them in politics, not let them have a voice by voting them out and by the masses who don't feel that way. But if there's enough masses that do feel that way to keep these types of policies and people alive, then let's talk about separating from those people altogether. But let's talk about it in a positive, civil, forward-thinking fashion, and let's not talk about it at the top of our lungs on social media and screaming out loud all day, every day, because it's killing us. I am Carell. Be who you want to be, so don't hurt anybody. Have a great weekend.
Be a part of the show. Email feedback at reallycarell.com. That's feedback at reallycarell.com. It's broadcasting from a completely different point of view. Yours. Listen daily to the Carellcast on your favorite streaming service.